Come on, then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right. We call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball.
On the right wing, in and out, dribble between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I very nice.
And the Saint, Gary St. Jean.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable Show, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball. Kevin Danner, Gary St. Jean, rocking with you on a Tuesday evening, reminding you that the Warriors 2025-26 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. You want to be a part of the conversation, hit us up, 888-957-9570. Tough, tough loss for the Warriors last night, 103-102. To the LA Clippers. We'll start there. It's their eighth straight loss against the Clippers in Los Angeles. And we'll start with the most controversial play of the game, the non-goaltending call. Let's hear from Steph first, and then Saint, we'll get your thoughts.
To be honest, I was going to do that and saw him. That's why I thought I fouled Chris Dunn, because I was watching Coach go crazy, and I was appreciative of that, because two crazy calls in a row that you feel like can dictate the momentum of a game. It doesn't mean a win or a loss. It just dictates the momentum. So, no, I love that. That fired up Steve, for sure. Somebody had to do it tonight.
Well, I think Steve did a great job. He got his 2 cents worth. And, you know, Kev, I'm having a hard time with this. I really think the league needs to revisit this, that somebody in Secaucus, some way, shape, or fashion, if they're talking to the officials and it's blatant like that, there ought to be a way to overturn this. That's just wrong to me. Now, let's talk about the officials. You have the lead official who's under the hoop. You have what we call the slot official, which is about at the free throw line extended. And then you have the trail official. Well, that guy in the slot position, that's his job. And he flat out blew the call. And that was just terrible. And to lose by 1 point after having that happen, you know, I used to go to LA for like 35, 40 years. Crazy things happen when you go to LA. I don't know what it is, but I've been around a lot of crazy stuff down there.
So even in the sports arena where the Clippers used to play, there'd be some crazy stuff. Even crazier stuff?
Oh, I remember we got police escorts front and back to go to the old sports arena. We'd be coming through Watts, and those are the times that we've had some troubles in our country. And I'd be sitting there, and I put the head down. I didn't look out the window. You know, it's a tough place, and just the Clippers used to be a crazy team. You just never knew what the heck was going to happen. You know, ownership and everything. And lo and behold, you get a game like this.
Yeah. So, I mean, the game, the final score, as we mentioned, was 103-102. You can't just do revisionist math, but it happened at 81-74. If they call it correctly, it's 81-76. And Steve Kerr doesn't lose his mind on the other end. And, like, I think at that point, he almost had to get tossed. Like Steph said you have to go ballistic. And I thought Steve did the exact right thing. Even if you cost your team, like, a couple – he technically only cost his team 1 point there because one of the technical free throws was missed. But it turned into a five-point swing in a one-point game on a play that happened, 81-74. I mean, it was in the fourth quarter. I forget what, like 7.5 to go or something like that. That was a brutal miss. There's no way around it.
Well, you explained it perfectly in a 5-point play, and you lose by one. And, you know, as a coach, you got to protect your players. That's your job. Steve did it. He hadn't been thrown out in like 3-4 years. And then I got to see my old pal Terry Stotts standing up there, and I was hoping they were going to pull it out. You know, I remember that Clipper game. Nelly got thrown out. We were 15 or 18 down, and we came back and won the game, and it was his 600th win. So we all circled up in that terrible locker room at the Sports Center and presented him the ball and had a lot of fun. So it's I just got crazy memories from down there.
Yeah, I mean, outside of where it was located, it was one of the older buildings and slash more rundown buildings in the NBA, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You walked in, you went down about 40 stairs, then you went to this locker room, and I think the men's and ladies' room were better than the visiting locker room. I mean, it was almost, I'm going to tell you something, it was almost as bad as the old Boston Garden, where we hung our clothes on nails.
Oh, gee.
And back there, in the wintertime, our back would make sure that the windows were wide open, so it was freezing in there. And then we'd come in the spring for the playoffs, you'd have the heat on to like 110. No, so they said, oh, Red wouldn't do that. Bananas. I know he did it. and, you know, you look at the Clippers and, you know, I had a lot of respect for Elgin Baylor for all those years he stayed there. And he was a class act. And at one time, Kev, they had a good team. Larry Brown was coaching. And they had some good players, but they've had a lot of crazy stuff go on there. But I, you know what? I give them credit. They were doing terrible this year to one of the oldest teams in the league, and they've come back and had a nice run here, led by Leonard. I think he's, you know, with Harden out, obviously he needed the ball in his hands a lot more. But, you know, they got a lot of guys playing at a high level, and I don't know if they're going to get into to the 10 spot, but they've done a darn good job.
Yeah, they've won 7 of 8. Kawhi Leonard dropped 55 on the Detroit Pistons, of all teams.
On the Pistons.
Like, I mean, been on a heater. I was going to ask you this later, but since you kind of brought it up, I mean, do you think the Clips will make the play-in despite that 6-21 start?
Well, I'd have to put the glasses on and look here, but right now, I'm still of the feeling like you. I know the Suns are 7. And the Warriors are 8. And you've studied this thing, their schedule for the rest of the month. And it's really, really good. And I get people around going, now they're crying the blues. And I said, hang in there. You know, they're playing pretty darn good basketball. I like the way they're competing. I thought last night was all about shooting. They didn't shoot the ball worth a darn. Took care of the ball on the road. You know, I thought they could have won that game. It's a tough loss, but, you know, who's behind there? Who are we talking about, Kev? We're talking about after the Warriors. I don't like Portland. I don't like Memphis. I don't like Dallas. Maybe the Clippers can get up there. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, 13-23 right now. I'm pulling up the NBA standings.
Doubtful.
They are currently 2 games back of the Memphis Grizzlies. 13-22, excuse me. They're 2 games back of Memphis for 10th. So, like, they're right there as far as the play. It'd be a long road.
You're exactly right.
But that'd be a really tough 9-10 game for the 9 seed and trying to keep them out of the playoffs if they keep on playing like this. And don't exactly want to see Kawhi Leonard and James Harden and Ivica Zubac and Derrick Jones Jr. Playoff series.
No.
So,
no,
like, we'll see. But you mentioned it with respect to last night's game. And Chris Mullin mentioned this on the NBC Sports Bay Area postgame show. I really thought the Warriors were the better team last night.
Yeah,
they turned it over just 7 times, 27 assists to 7 turnovers. They forced 20
That's
turnovers.
Terrific.
They're plus 20 in points off turnovers. They only give up 6 offensive rebounds. Then you mentioned the shooting. Like as they say, it's a make or miss league. And just not often. Look, I know they were daring Draymond Green to shoot last night, 0-for-6. That's like part of the defensive plan for the Clippers. But I can also tell you that Ty Lue didn't want Stephen Curry getting up 15 threes. And Steph, more often than not, is not going to go 4 of 15 from downtown. He hits his normal percentage, 6 of 15. They win by 5. And so, like, I'm like, there are guys individually, like Moses Moody's in a bit of a rough stretch. We'll get to that later. But, like, I thought generally, outside of, you know, the shots they dared Draymond to take, I thought Golden State had a decent shot quality last night.
No, I'm with you 100%. And when I look at it, there was a guy that scored 20 points I never even heard of. He was the last pick.
Kobe Sanders.
Yeah.
Number 50 pick.
I used to take pride. I knew everybody in the whole league. So I'm watching this guy, and I said, oh, boy, I'm going to get Kevin tomorrow. I'm going to ask him all about this guy because he knows everybody. And the guy played a heck of a game. You know, I'm a Lopez guy. I like Batum. My old pal Jeff Van Gundy, who I really, really just have a wealth of respect for, on that bench, and he's so fired up defensively, and maybe they can keep going. I don't know. Memphis to me is a real mystery. I don't know. I think Morant wants out of there. I think, you know, people are rumoring today Young for Morant may be a good trade, but I think Young's going to wind up in Washington. But watching Memphis back-to-back this past week, that team there, that would drive me crazy. That team there's got talent.
So yeah, they definitely do.
You know, and here's that. You look at Dallas, and they've got all these injuries and that kind of thing, and the rookies hitting the wall a little bit. And so you're looking at those teams below the Warriors. I don't think any of them are coming up and going to pass them up. I really don't
agree
think
with
that.
You.
And we've got, what, 40-something games to play? I think, you know, and the Phoenix, to me, I'm going to tip my hat to them. I'm not a Dylan Brooks guy. I don't like his act, but the guy's played good basketball. And, you know, I love Booker. And you know who's played really well from the guy that the Lakers let go? They made a mistake.
Jordan Goodwin.
On the one-year deal, that guy Gordon.
Yeah, Jordan Goodwin.
Yeah. Yeah. He's done a good job for them. So don't lose faith in the Warriors, because somebody up there, look what's going on with Denver right now. They won a game last night they shouldn't have won in Philadelphia. Absolutely. But there's going to be injuries. You know, OKC's come down out of the clouds. Then you got Denver. Houston, Durant makes a buzzer beater. This thing's a long, long way from being solidified.
Yeah, I mean, there are 45 games still to go. And like you, Saint, I don't think that Portland, even though they're 0-3 against Portland, I don't think Portland can usurp Golden State in the standings, even though it's like kind of close right now with the Warriors' schedule coming up and just kind of their personnel. Like, it's decent, but the Warriors should be better than that team. They shouldn't have lost to them three times this season. Memphis is so up and down. You mentioned with Dallas and the Clippers. Like, I do feel pretty solid that the Warriors, at the very worst, will be the 8 seed going into the play-in tournament. Obviously, you want to get into the top 6, and we'll break that down a little bit later. But, folks, we can tell you that NBA All-Star voting is live. Dub the Vote, presented by Google Cloud, to send your favorite Warriors players to the 2026 All-Star Game. Visit warriors.com/vote to vote now. We'll take a break. Come on back. Talk more about that hard-fought loss and heartbreaking loss to the LA Clippers. We'll take a head to this 8-game homestand the Warriors have, and taking your calls, 888-957-9570, right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound.
Look, stop that!
Chicken! What are you going to do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Tomorrow is Hello Kitty Night at Chase Centers. The Dubs take on the Milwaukee Bucks. First 10,000 fans will get a Warriors Hello Kitty bag charm. Get your tickets now at warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives are standing by. Kevin Anagary, St. Jean with you. If you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570. One last note from the Clippers game. I was curious to get your take on this, Saint. So Steph fouled out, of course. He had 4 fouls in the fourth quarter. Yeah. It's the 13th time he's fouled out. He said after the game, he basically vowed he's never going to foul out in another game again. It had been more than 4 years since he had fouled out. Now, I watched both the Peacock broadcast of this play and the NBC Sports Bay Area broadcast of this play. Peacock did not have a replay of the initial drive of Kobe Sanders, but NBC Sports did. And on that slow-mo replay, I thought maybe D'Anthony Melton was not completely vertical the entire way through, saying that D'Anthony Melton should have been called for the foul right there and would have saved Steph from his sixth. I don't know if you had any thoughts on that play.
I will tell you what. People will debate back in the old days when I was on the bench that there was a star system. Now, what does that mean? That the referees didn't want to see the stars fall out. So if there was a play like that, that was clearly on Melton. There was no way that that was on Steph Curry. That was a steadfast rule. You lived with it. It wasn't spoken, but you knew it. And I think it should stand today.
Okay, yeah. Now Steph clearly did foul Sanders on the offensive rebound. I'm saying before the missed shot, missed the initial shot, that's where I thought Melton fouled him. But, I mean, that's looking at him in slow motion. I say that because the last possession probably looks a lot different if Stephen Curry's on the floor, right?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but
That looked like a St. Isidore sixth grade side out of bounds play.
Oh, okay. Wow.
That was not good. I was shaking my head.
It resulted in an air ball. So it didn't work out. But yeah, it was definitely curious to get your thoughts on that last play. So it leaves the Warriors 19-18, and now it's an 8-game homestand. Here are the teams, maybe not in order, but they play Milwaukee and Sacramento and Atlanta. That's for sure the first three games. And then you also have New York, Portland, Charlotte, Miami, and Toronto. What do you think the Warriors should be able to accomplish, and what's your goal for this homestand, Saint?
You and I tend to be optimistic. I'd be disappointed if they're not at least 6-2. And I just decided me to think they can go 7-1. Because I like Mully said, and you said it, they're playing hard. And I think more shots are going to start to go in. You know, I know who Draymond is. I know who Butler is, and I know who Curry is. I'm just not seeing the consistency from the other guys. Yeah. And, boy, that's puzzling. That's hard. You don't know what you're going to get. Now, you brought up Moody before. I love the way he's defending.
He's been awesome defensively.
For a period of time, for a period of time early in the season, he was an automatic on those corner threes. And now he's, I don't know, like 7-25 or something like that, something crazy. And, you know, we just we got to see some guys see the ball go in.
Yeah. I want to touch on a couple of players you just mentioned in a little bit. But to follow up your goal of like 6-2/7-1, I mean, I'm going to get a little greedy. I think they can go 7-1 against us. I'd be fine with 6-2 for sure.
I'm with you.
6-2 gets you to, 25-20. But they need to start racking up wins right now. And honestly, Golden State owes Milwaukee. They lost to them without Giannis.
Yes.
Ryan Rollins' revenge game. I think he had 32 in that game. They owe Sacramento. Even though they sat some guys in that game, they still should have won that one in Sacramento. They should not be 0-3 against Portland. They legitimately got it handed to them the first time, but they could have easily won the next two games against Portland. And then Toronto absolutely blew that game. I mean, that was probably the most throw your remote across the room kind of game that Golden State's had this year. So if you kind of think about those were toss-up games and these teams being equal, like, I'd say that the ball would roll on the Warriors' side of those games when they play them at home.
Yeah, and you know what? It's beautiful schedule. You're not filled up with back-to-backs. Listen, if you really study the NBA, they've had as tough a couple months start of the year as anybody. They played 20, 21 road games?
21 road games after last night, 20 in the first 72 days.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'm old school. I got my newspaper, but I also look at my iPad. And one of the things I'm always looking at when I see things are close, I check out what they're doing home and away. Numbers of games played, their record out there. I've talked to you about the Doug Moe thing.
Doug Moe standings.
Home losses. And I'm a firm believer in that. And I'm just one of these guys that thinks, hey, they're gonna be fine here the next couple of weeks. And a couple guys, maybe, you know, maybe a Melton or I'd love the rookie, the way he's playing. How about Santos coming in the other night, knocking down that corner three? You know, you just don't know. You're coaching a little bit by the seat of your pants and the matchups out there that you're playing against. One guy, the last four or five games, he doesn't even never has a play run for him. I love Gary Payton's play.
Yeah.
The guy's doing a terrific job. He's what we call in the dunker position a lot. So if you've got corner and a high pick and roll action, there's a guy that's about 12 feet away. And if the guy guarding that guy goes to the big man who rolls to the basket, you are wide open. And he's uncanny at playing that spot. He has timing and rhythm that you can't teach. Maybe that comes from old Pop.
I will say, I mean, they're obviously very different players, but he definitely has the IQ that the glove had. Glove certainly has that IQ. I mean, to your point, he has at least 9 points in four of his last five games for a guy averaging under 5 points per game, back-to-back double-figure games. He had 14 last night. We all know it should have been 16 because he was the one who got his shot goaltended there by John Collins. And the way he plays, to follow up with what you're saying, he can get you 3 to 4 easy baskets a night just based on his timely cuts and how he finds his way around the basket.
Very well said. You're exactly right. You don't have to run anything for him. He's going to get a steal. He's going to get an offensive rebound or one of those plays we just explained. And you know what? I don't know any better. I'm not in the locker room anymore. I bet every guy in the whole team loves him.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I think that's a big part of bringing him back, right? Like, his locker room fit. It's a big reason why they brought D'Anthony Melton back, right? Like, he only played, six games last year for the Warriors.
Yeah.
But everyone loved him in the organization. And as soon as he was able to rehab that ACL, I mean, they made him a priority to bring him back. And now he's starting to find that shooting stroke. He hit three threes against the Utah Jazz on Saturday. He had been in just a dreadful start, 6 of 36 from downtown. But, of course, he's coming off the ACL. This guy is traditionally a very solid three-point shooter. I think he's mid-30s, 36% or something for his NBA career. And so that's going to come around, and it has started to come around. But don't miss Local Heroes Night on Friday, January 9th, as the Dubs take on the Sacramento Kings, presented by AMPM. All fans get a Warriors mini tote bag. Get your tickets now at warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives standing by. We'll take a break when we come back. A little more on breaking down this next set of games at home for Golden State. Get into it a little deeper with the Milwaukee Bucks and some other NBA topics and the Santa Cruz Warriors right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carrying a swallow carrying a coconut.
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. Tomorrow, the Warriors begin their eight-game homestand against the Milwaukee Bucks, 6:30 on the air with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call. It is Hello Kitty night, 7 p.m. tip time. Warriors and Bucks on 95.7 The Game. Homestand continues Friday against Sacramento. That is Local Heroes Night presented by AMPM, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time. Then Sunday against the Atlanta Hawks, 5 p.m. airtime, 5:30 tip time. That is Jewish Heritage Night, followed by the Portland Trail Blazers Tuesday late tip time. That's an NBC game at 8 p.m. and 7:30 on the air, 8 p.m. tip time for that one. And then more home action Thursday, January 15th against the New York Knicks, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time. With all those games, it'll be Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. So, Saint, I want to kind of break down a little bit the standings. You and I love to do this kind of thing. And as we approach the midpoint of the season, Look, so this 8-game homestand will take the Warriors to 45 games. Right now, Minnesota's leading the Miami Heat by like 8 points. But coming into today, Minnesota was 4.5 games ahead of the Warriors at 23-13. The Warriors homestand, Milwaukee, Sacramento, Atlanta, New York, Portland, Chicago, Miami, Toronto. Houston schedule tonight at home against Miami. Then they play a home-and-home with Cleveland. They get San Antonio at home, at Milwaukee, at Houston, at San Antonio, at Utah.
Ooh.
Like, they could easily go 4-4 in that stretch. So I'm being super optimistic here. But if the Warriors go 7-1, they're 26-19. Minnesota could potentially be 27-17 after that stretch going through January 20th. And all of a sudden, the Warriors are a game and a half out of sixth with 37 to play and 2 games in Minnesota the following week. It's for Golden State.
I'll give you an scenario. Okay. I'm watching the Warriors play like it's a scrimmage against New Orleans right now. And they're down 6 in the third quarter. Now watch this. Tomorrow, they're in San Antonio. They're not going to win there. They come home, and they play Milwaukee, who if Adekunpo's playing and he plays great, you know, maybe you have a chance. They got that kid there that you told me about. What's his name? Rollins?
Yeah, Ryan Rollins.
Is that his name? That guy's having a hell of a year. So I don't know if they'll win there. They're going to go up to Sacramento. I feel bad for Sacramento. I really do. I just read today Keegan Murray's out for a month with a sprained ankle.
Yeah, 3 or 4 weeks.
What a tough run they've had. So, you know, you talk about Minnesota, and I think Houston is going to stay up there more than the Lakers. I really do feel that way because they're not playing well without AR, without Reeves. And, you know, they haven't had Hashimura and Vincent, and they're not a very deep team. They don't have a bench like the Warriors, so... If you get my gist, somebody up there has the potential to come down. And if I had the horse race here, I just don't like the way the Lakers are playing.
Yeah, it's weird because they're like 22-11 or something like that. Their record is really good, and they're like 12-0 in clutch games or whatever it is.
That's crazy.
And if they're not winning close games, they're like getting blown out. I think they still have a negative net rating on the season, despite being like 11 games above 500.
They're the only team out of all the playoff teams that have that.
Yeah. So, and like I was listening to the Hoop Collective podcast, and they say that generally speaking, the Lakers schedule is backloaded because they want them in all those primetime games after the football season's over. And so they're going to get more like the, you know, they'll get the Celtics, who, by the way, are second in the East now. Those matchups against the Knicks, you know, their games against the Thunder now. So, like, they have games against the Warriors coming up still. So, like, their schedule is going to be tough. I agree with you. That is the most tenuous, like, third in the East third in the West that you can see with the Lakers. So, yeah, that's something to monitor. And if the Warriors
really
are to have
an eye on that, I really my son's on the bench. He can't hear what the heck I'm saying. So I'm watching, and my wife says, "Go in the other room," because I'm bickering at the TV. She says, "I don't want to listen to you." So and I'm amazed at what Boston's done. I really am. That's really a heck of an accomplishment. Jaylen Brown has played fabulous. I'm a huge White fan. Pritchard got off to a slow start, having been a starter. It's easier coming off the bench against bench guys, but he's played pretty solid. They got a kid. They put him back on the bench, but a kid named Walsh.
Oh, Jordan Walsh. Yeah, he's
like
good.
I like him. Yeah. And then the guy they got from Portland, who they're paying a lot of money, that was in that holiday trade.
Anthony Simons.
That guy's scoring. He can score the basketball.
He had 27 in the second half last night.
Yeah, and I think they're really trying to – that's a contract that ends this year. I think they'd really like to trade him.
Yeah.
But this is amazing what they're doing. And you talked about the Knicks. The Knicks are interesting. In my day, they never went on more than a 4-game trip. Now, a lot of us were going on a 7 or 8 game trip. They never out the league. They didn't. They just took care of them. They were handled.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They never went on long road trips. It was amazing back in the old days. We all used to say, they're going to play the 2 LA teams and maybe they'll play Denver on the way home. You know, that'd be it. It was comical. But, you know, there's another team that's sliding. You know, what have they lost? 4 in a row? And, you know, that you lose one key guy. You know, Hart's out with a sprained ankle.
Yep.
And he's the guy to get you 11 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and he just helps you win basketball games, and they've just kind of lost their way a little bit. It's really, I just love watching all these teams and who's in flow and who's not and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, for the Warriors to get in flow on this homestand, I think a couple things need to happen. First, I do think they need to get Moses Moody going offensively. Overall, his numbers are the best they've been if you just look at the full season. The three, you mentioned it, the three has faltered as of late. He did have like that streak with 22 straight with a made three, but he's 6 of 25 from three over his last 6 games, and like he's getting a lot of really good looks too. Now, 6 of 25, that's a small sample size. I do think it's going to come around, but like if Moody gets back to the 40% where he was living much of the season, it'll be a huge boost to Golden State. And I look at Moses, and I see a guy that can score 15 points per game in the NBA. He's at 10.6 right now.
I'm with you 100%. And the other guy I think that can get going is Melton. And why do I like the both of them? They're two-way players. They can play both ends of the floor. I will say this. I thought Podzimski had a stretch of games where he was forcing the game. He wasn't letting the game come to him. And I think now he's playing better. You know when he's really effective is when he gets paint touches. Now, what do we mean by that?
Yes.
He dribbles the ball into the paint. And the defense shrinks, and then he finds a Steph Curry or whoever for a three. And when he's in that mode, I know he's going to give you the rebounding and taking charges and all that kind of thing. He's got to get the heck off the three-point line. He's too effective off of dribble penetration for me, and I think that's when he's at his best, and he's in the flow of the game, and generally he makes good basketball decisions.
Yeah, and he does have a nice floater game when he gets into the paint as well.
Yes, he does.
Can flip that up.
True.
And that's another weapon in his arsenal. One guy that I think has turned it around a little bit offensively is Draymond Green. Now, look, of course, he got ejected from Utah. Yeah. He's been ejected from a couple of games. He had the spat on the bench with Steve Kerr recently. But over his last 4 games, and there's been a lot made of his turnovers, 29 assists and 7 turnovers. It's a better than 4-to-1 assist to turnover ratio, which is amazing. And it's 29 assists in 3.5 games, essentially. You could also say 7 turnovers in 3.5 games, too. But like, so he's basically, I'd say it around, like if he had played that full game out, probably over the last 4 games, he's around 8 assists to 2 turnovers a game, which is awesome.
That's
and
darn
he's been
good.
Making better decisions with the ball. Obviously, the shot didn't fall for him last night, but made some convicting drives to the rim, had a couple of layups there. This is the kind of Draymond Green on offense that you very much like to have.
You couldn't spell it out any better than you did. That's terrific. And that's what he is. And he's a vintage point forward. And in this offense, which is unique, it's different from everybody else in the league. Nobody else has a guy like Steph Curry moving around. And you know what, Kev? You know what I love? When he gets involved with a two-man game with Steph, you know, pick and pop, repick, you know, whatever the action is. Those guys just, they know each other's moves inside and out. They haven't played together for, 12 years? And it's beautiful basketball. But you're right. He's so important to the team. And that I think he got a little bit of a quick whistle there last week. Yeah, he did, but they need him on the floor. There's no debate there. And when he's on there, I'm not worried about him making threes. That doesn't worry me at all when they don't play him. What you do then if you have the ball is you get dribble handoff angles. What it means is don't go right parallel to the guy. Dribble at an angle so you shorten the guy's shot. So if he's bringing it to Steph Curry, he didn't have to bring it out to the three line. Bring it inside like to 17 feet. Make your hand off. And something that he's very good at, I'd recommend to kids. He goes over to make the dribble handoff, and he kind of just lifts his shoulders up. And then he fakes the handoff, and he blows by for the layup. The defense is so concerned about Steph that the both defenders, the one on Steph and the one on Draymond, both jump to the jump to Steph, and then you go for a layup. It's uncanny the way he does that. And yeah, you're going to get a better whistle at home. It's going to be better.
Yeah. I feel like that naked handoff, that would work one time a game. Maybe not this year.
Absolutely.
It doesn't feel like it's happened as much this year, but like last year for sure, like Draymond would just get a wide open layup because of the gravity of Steph, and just they're so concerned about that action. Well, this homestand starts against Milwaukee on Wednesday, and it's as simple as this for the Bucks, right? They're 3-11 when Giannis is out. They're 13-9 when he plays. So they're like a pretty good team when he plays, and they're a very bad team when he doesn't. Of course, one of those three wins was against Golden State in Wisconsin earlier this year. But all the talk around Milwaukee now is Giannis's future. How do you see this playing out?
You know, I think it's going to be a little bit like Young. Now, Young might get traded here before at the deadline. But in Giannis's case, I think he'll be there for the year. And then they'll sit down and figure it out. And if he stays, I love it. That's loyalty to a team. They've been great to him, to his and his family, the community and everybody like that. And they won a championship. And if he decides to go somewhere else, it's kind of like, you know, when LeBron left Cleveland and all that kind of thing. Hey, you're grateful for what he brought to the organization. There's going to be change that happens in every team every year. And you just hope that that's a big contract that you can get back something you really like. You know, and he's going to be the key. You know, his agents will sit down with them, and it isn't like they're just going to make a deal and not have a conversation with him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, despite the questions around his future, sometimes you'll see guys, they're mired in trade rumors or whatever, and like, not to point out any one particular individual, but I'm going to do just that. Like when they basically sat Anthony Davis until he got traded to New Orleans, from New Orleans to L.A., like Giannis is not built that way. He's still playing with the same forces always. 29.3 points and 28.9 minutes per game this season. He's been awesome.
And Kev, you know something? He made a great statement this week. I was reading Hoopipes. He said, "I'm at my best when I'm like a point forward." He said that when I got the ball up on top, that's when I'm at my best. Well, let's go all the way back to Jason Kidd. And he was the one who
just
did
about
that.
To say that. Yep.
And it was admirable. I think it was a great, great move and has helped his career. Instead of saying you're going to put him down in the paint or whatever it is. You know, and on the other side of the ledger, you look at this guy and it's, you got nothing but respect for him. I just like his message when he's off the floor. He's a good family man. He's good in the community. He's never had any issues. I've just got nothing but applause for him.
And by the way, Jason Kidd did the exact same thing with Cooper Flagg this year to start the season. Now he's playing more of his natural forward position, but like they gave Cooper Flagg the keys of the offense, made him point guard essentially. It didn't go well, but it was kind of like with the long tail in mind, right? Like down 4 or 5 years down
back.
The line.
That's right.
Yeah, it may come back, and Cooper is going to benefit from that greatly. So that's the deal with Giannis this season. How do you go about guarding him, Sane? Because I remember, like in the 2019 Eastern Conference Finals, Nick Nurse, when he was with the Raptors, kind of became famous for a while, building a wall to like keep Giannis from trying to get to the paint. But how do you go about trying to do that?
There's an expression that coaches use that they say, we're going to make him beat us over the top. So you get some pressure on him, but when he gets toward the three line, maybe you give up a step, but you're going to fill elbows and boxes. Now, what the heck does that mean? The elbow is the intersection of the free throw line and the free throw lane. So you got guys on either one of those. What's that do? It clogs up the paint, so he's not a finishing driver. Maybe he comes in there and he's going to pitch out to a three. Now you're going to analyze their personnel and who is not a good three-point shooter. That team there to me, with Kuzma, with Portis, with Turner, I can't figure those guys out. They're really, really inconsistent. And they can beat you, those guys. They can score. Turner's average is way down from Indiana. Portis isn't playing really as good. And Kuzma, he's like a microwave. He can go for 30 and then he won't even get you two. So what you got to do is build that wall and contain him. And I'd follow him once in a while because I like the fans when they start counting to 10. I love that. And I wish, you know, in the old days, Earl Strom or Jack Madden or Jake O'Donnell, they would have called that 10-second thing.
Well, he gets the occasional 10-second violation at the line. But, yeah, it probably could happen a little more than it does because it's more like 12 to 13 seconds sometimes when he's at the line. You mentioned Miles Turner. I mean, they basically sacrificed $22 million a year for 5 years in dead cap space to make this signing by stretching and waving Damian Lillard. And this is lowest scoring average in 6 years, worst field goal percentage of his career by a mile at 41%. That being said, he's liable to hit 7-8 threes in a game. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if he hits 7 threes tomorrow, but it just really hasn't worked out, I think, the way they thought Milwaukee thought it would to this point with Miles Turner.
Didn't you like him when he was with Indiana in the role of a pick and pop guy up top there with Halliburton? And he can block a shot. You know, I know that it was a big money thing, but that guy there's got a nice skill level.
He really does. I mean, how many times did we hear Warrior fans over the years say, let's make a trade for Miles Turner?
Oh, they wanted him.
Let's make a trade.
Exactly.
Every Warriors fan, I feel like over the last 5 years, not everyone, but like a lot of Warriors fans, you feel like when you hear like just fans talking about who can we get in a trade? Who do we want in a trade? Miles Turner's name came up all the time. It came up with the Lakers. Like every team wanted this guy. And so we'll see. I mean, it's only half a season, but the production has not been to what I think Milwaukee was expecting to this point with him.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned Rollins and, you know, Portis is a heck of a nice big coming off the bench. He really
great
is.
Big.
Yep. He's probably one of the most well-liked guys. You know, Milwaukee's a great town. Yeah. Oh, gosh. You know, I was there for a long time, for 7 years, and fans are great. And I think, beside Adekumpo, I think he's the favorite guy there. They love him.
Have you been to the new building there, Fiserv Forum?
No, I'm getting so old now that there's cities that have three buildings. I started in one of them. They got another one that I saw, and then the third one I didn't get to. And I laugh about it. It's kind of comical to me. And that's the case there because we were in the Mecca. Then they had the new, the second one there, and we were there.
The Bradley Center, I think
it was. I
was
there for a number of times when Herb Cole was the owner. And then they built this new one. But that area down there, Kev, that they built this,
the Deer District.
There's a Kernverein. There's a fish place on Friday that you get fried whitefish, and it's fantastic. Okay. They call it a fish fry. And Nellie and I used to go to that religiously every Friday. And then we had a bar across from the Mecca called Major Goolsby's. And that's when these people started playing like Pac-Man and stuff. So we'd go in there after practice and invariably, we'd have a coaches meeting for 3 or 4 hours. Nelly loved to win and compete. So we'd be playing, and he'd say, what about Kevin? How do you think he's playing? How can we use him better? Oh, your turn. You get up there. Now you play. And the chatter would go on. It was unbelievable. And all the teams used to – now they don't all stay there, but we all stayed at the Hyatt. It was one of the few arenas in the league. You just walk across the street. It was like now what Sacramento's got. You know, with the Kempton Sawyer. And my old friend Frankie Hamlin, I don't know if you remember that name. He was an assistant coach with Cotton Fitzsimmons. He was assistant a long time with Phil Jackson. He used to go in Major Goolsby so much that they made a gold embossed plate on a chair that he sat in. And it says, Coach Frank Hamlin sat here. And I just love that. I love that.
Oh, that's awesome. So, I mean, the visiting teams still do stay, like, basically right across the street from the arena. I mean, obviously, it's a different arena. It's a different hotel. Yeah. Yeah. I went on that trip this year. Very convenient. Loved it. Really nice setup there
in Milwaukee. Did you go to the press
room? I had to. I'm trying to remember.
You had the Usinger's Bratwurst. They have those sausages out there, and they got the peppers and onions and mushrooms. Oh, my God. I sat there and ate. I didn't even want to go out on the floor.
Now, the Warriors, as Joe Lacob does from time to time, they bought out the restaurant and the hotel for the night because there's so many, like, you know, Pajemski's families from Milwaukee. Yeah. And Milwaukee's like – Tris DeMarco's family was an hour away. So it's awesome that the Warriors do that from time to time. We got a couple of minutes left. Wanted to get your thoughts on a couple of NBA things. The Thunder lost by 27 to the Charlotte Hornets last night. Wow. They're 6-6 in their last 12 after this 24-1 start. I mean, I still think they are by far the team to beat in the NBA. But are they as indestructible as you thought they were before this 6-6 stretch?
You know, it's hard to bring it every single night defensively. And that's where they make their hay. I think that they've had some slippage there. Some of the guys coming off the bench just aren't playing as well as they were. Here's a positive, though. I think Williams, our Santa Clara guy, is ready to start turning it up. I think the Batman and Robin thing is ready to go. I think he's felt his way into the rotation and all that kind of thing. And when he gets going, that makes them a really unique team. And I really love his game. I hope it gets going good for him.
Yeah. And three of those six losses, Saint, have come against the San Antonio Spurs. And I think a lot of us looked at them as like a feel-good story. Yeah, they can, you know, make the playoffs, maybe a top six seed.
Oh, man.
Well, now coming into tonight, they're 25-10. They are losing by five in the fourth quarter at Memphis tonight, but they handled Oklahoma City in two of those three games. They absolutely just, like, dominated them. How good can the Spurs be this season?
Well, you help me with all these wing guys. I know Fox, and now start helping me. You've got Vassell. But I love Castle, the kid from UConn.
Yep, Stephon Castle.
Oh, boy. That guy's got a chance to be super duper special. Then they get the rookie Harper from Rutgers.
Yep.
I really like him. And then you got the returning two good sized guys. It's Vassell and what's the other guy's name?
Devin Vassell. They have Keldon Johnson, Harrison Barnes, of course. And then this guy, Julian Champagne, has had like a 9-3 game. Yeah, and you still got that.
So you got the point, and you got all the wings filled. And hey, listen, give their front office a ton of credit. Signing Cornette.
Yep.
I looked at I said, wow, you're reaching there. That's $40 million for 4 years. But the guy's been invaluable. He's been terrific for him. And Wemby's like the secret weapon. I mean, you know, when he's healthy, it's gonna be great. So I'm with you. I love watching them play. They're terrific.
I mean, he's coming off the bench right now in a minutes restriction. Tonight, he has 23 points in 18 minutes. Yeah, and he's come off the bench this year, like returning from injury. So interesting to see. We'll see if they can come back in Memphis tonight. But that'll do it for us tonight, folks. We'll be back with you next week for Mark Grandy behind the glass, for Marika Kleto and RC Davis on the Warriors side of things. I'm Kevin Dana alongside Gary St. Jean saying adios. We will talk to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step, left wing, three. Cha-ching! 58-41. Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.